in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Successful Living. Successful Living is a daily broadcast ministry of Cathedral of Life in Canton, Ohio, where your host, Pastor Danny Gamble, brings to you insightful wisdom and practical truths from the Word of God that you can apply to your everyday life. Now let me introduce to you your host and our senior pastor, Pastor Dana Gamble.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray right now that you will move across this room with a special touch from heaven. Father, we're not worried about all of the things that in the natural are working or not working. Father, I thank you that you are working to and for your people and in us this morning. I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come in any way to hinder or disrupt this service in any way. And I thank you, Father God, for a supernatural flow of your presence across this room right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us and you're training us for administrative purposes in your eternal kingdom. Father, you're raising up more than just simply servants, but you're raising up serving sons and daughters. You're raising up kingdom people with a kingdom purpose and a kingdom mandate and a kingdom advance. Father God, you made the way through the cross, the check cleared, and Father God, now our destiny is for us to lay hold of and advance into. Father, the enemy has tried to stop it. He's tried to thwart it. He's tried to hinder it. He's tried to take it. He's tried to steal it. He's tried every way he can, Father God, to avert and abort destinies in this room. He's set up roadblocks. Father God, the enemy has tried to afflict, inflict. He has tried to come against people in this room from every angle, every side, and every way. But Father, there are survivors across this room. I'm speaking to survivors across this room, Father God, that you are causing to rise up in their spirit. And Father God, there is a purpose and a destiny and a discovery awaiting them, Father God, as they wake up every morning and pursue you. The prize is not simply, Father God, getting things in our hands, but touching your nail-scarred hands. The prize is knowing you. The prize is realizing that our destination is not a place, but a person. And so, Father, across this room, Father God, just begin to blend us together. Just begin, Father God, to weave our destinies together to reach a corporate purpose that is beyond us, that is beyond our own ability to think, our own ability to imagine. Father, take us to a place we've never been. Take off the limitations. Father, I feel like I've stepped into a stream right now that's just flowing, Father God, from the realm of the eternal. Father, I thank you that there is a flow of your anointing, Father God, just reaching out to each and every person. It's as if we've stepped into, Father God, the wells and the waters of old, Father, where the angels are stirring the waters. It's as if there's a stirring in the spirit in this room right now. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, you're healing hearts. You're healing lungs right now. You're healing bodies right now. You're restoring, Father, what the cankerworm has stolen. You're bringing back what time, Father God, has been suspended and kept them out of. You're breaking down fences and defenses, Father God. Walls are being devastated and destroyed, Father God. Father God, access is being released across this room right now. Supernatural interventions and divine enablements are being released across this room right now. In Jesus' name, activations are taking place in the spirit. Destiny is being imparted right now. Father God, curtains are being opened as if places that have been blinded from us, Father God, places that have not been unveiled to us are being unveiled even now. Father, we're understanding as we trust you the whys and the whats and the wheres and the whens, Father God. And until we completely understand it, we're trusting the who. And that who is you this morning. We trust you this morning, heavenly dove. We trust you this morning, Holy Spirit. Somebody just welcome the Spirit of God right now. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I welcome you, presence of the living God, this morning. I welcome you beyond just simply in this exterior space around us. And we welcome you into the interior place inside of us. We welcome you into our thoughts, our mind, our will, our emotions, our words. We welcome you into our desires this morning. We welcome your destiny to infuse and to touch us with a brand new touch. In Jesus' name, right now, Lord, right now, right now. Right now, Right now, God's touching some people right now across this room. I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit is just kind of hovering over dark spaces and places. The Holy Spirit is hovering in the name of Jesus right now. I just declare that voids are being filled right now. Losses are being recovered right now. Angels are going forth on behalf of the heirs of salvation and going and getting back what has been stolen and taken from you. I'm telling you, there's a movement in the Spirit right now. There's a movement going on. There's a shifting going on in the Spirit right now. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Whew. Wow. Wow, we bless you right now, Lord. Let the destinies be unveiled. Let the purposes, the plans of the Father be opened up to us right now. I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling and what is exceeding riches of his grace to usward who believe, according to the mighty working of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I thank you, Father God, that you are opening up our hearts right now, heart to heart, eyeball to eyeball, mouth to mouth resuscitation. You're breathing on behalf of those who could not breathe for themselves. Breath of life is being released across this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're tapping ancient wells, Father God. We're tapping and uncapping wells that have been closed up, Father God. Prophetic veins, Father God. I just see prophetic veins opening up, Lord. I just see wells and mines and places, Father God, of treasures being opened up to your people. Treasures in the natural and treasures in the supernatural. Revelation, Father God, coming this week. Somebody take it, take it, take it in the name of Jesus. Just say, I receive it. Wow, I receive it. I receive it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I curse every symptom in your body that has come to bring fear to your spirit and to vex you. I come against the enemy that comes to steal of your rest and to antagonize and to torment you now. I resist the tormentors that have come to torment your life, to bring back vexing old memories. I see the Holy Spirit just coming and hovering over you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've stepped into some type of a prophetic flow here today, and I thank God for it. So as we continue in this message, I don't know what all God's going to do. He may just interrupt at any time, and we just always give him permission to do that around here. Amen. I said we always give him permission to do that around here. Amen. I hope I'm not the only one up here loving his flow. How many love that, the appearing of the Lord Jesus as he comes at all times? Amen. Amen. I don't even really care. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the lights. We've got the light of his presence here right now. Thank you, Jesus. So when he opens up his destiny to us, he enlightens us. When he opens up his destiny to us, he just illuminates our spirit. He causes us to see things we couldn't see before. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we were talking about destiny, the first thing we looked at were destiny shapers. And destiny shapers. We had 27 destiny shapers. If you would like to learn about that, you can go back and pick up the tape. Some of those are relationships you establish, decisions and choices you make, the dreams you dream, the goals you set, the seeds you sow. Those were destiny shapers, and there's 27 of those that the Lord gave me. Your destiny is not a given. It's not necessarily a given. It's more like an invitation. Your destiny is the opportunity to become all that God always intended for you to be, to have, and to do. The question is my destiny being shaped, or am I being shaped for my destiny? And the answer is yes. Yes, both of those things are realities. He's preparing you, and as you obey every step that he gives you, destinies that he always intended for you now begin to be unveiled and unwrapped and opened up like boxes that have been set under the tree. As you obey, he starts opening up those destinies to us. So we found out there are some destiny shapers. Then we found out last week that there are some destiny shakers. Destiny shakers. And destiny shakers are major events. In fact, I'll call them the devil's devil's devices, his devices, the way that he operates, his devices. But for every device of the enemy, there is a deliverance from God. Amen? For every device, there's a deliverance. Somebody say, for every device, there's a deliverance. I'm stressing the D right now because each one of these major events in life start with the letter D. And so we looked at it last week. We found out that the devil is in the details. The devil is in the details sometimes. And some of those events are events that come to shake us. They come to shake us. I don't know why they call some of these natural disasters in the earth acts of God, because really what they are acts of the earth responding to the sins of men from the time of Adam. The earth is in travail because the sins of men have defiled the earth. And just like it was in the beginning when Adam's son killed his brother, the Bible said that his blood cried out from the earth. So the earth is in travail right now, and that travail is producing all kinds of the earth is in conflict with itself, just like the sons of men. And what's very interesting is the Bible says this. You know, a few years ago I was doing this prayer summit, and every day the Lord would give me a different thing to pray about. And he said, I want you to designate one day as the agriculture and prayer for the earth and all of this. And I thought, okay, I have no idea, that just sounds weird to me, but we'll pray for that. So when I went to come out and to pray that night for the agriculture and the earth and all the creation that God has in the earth, the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. Put up a microphone and have people come up and repent. I said, I thought we were praying for the earth. He said, you will be. I said, what do you mean? He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. So the healing of the land comes when the people cry out to God. In fact, if you look back at Amos and you look back at some of the old prophets, when they talk about the effects of sin, they talk about beasts turning on men and talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. So what we're seeing in the earth is not acts of God, but the earth in travail because of the sins of men. You say, Pastor, we're doing that? Yes, and not only us, but all the way back to Adam. Somebody asked me not long ago, they said they were sick, and they said, did sin cause this? Was it sin? I said, yes, it was sin. They said, Pastor, you're saying my sin made me sick? I said, yes, I'm saying it goes back to Adam. I'm not saying your particular individual sin. I'm saying the sins of men have brought disease in the earth. She said, how could you say that? I said, I can say that because there was no disease in the garden prior to man's fall. Amen? So the coming of Jesus is to bring us in repair. We're not here pointing the finger at anybody. We're not saying because somebody's sick, hey, you sin, so it's on you. No, we're saying that the sins of men all the way back to the garden brought disease into the earth. So we found out there were seven major types of events that take place in the earth. Devil's devices that God has deliverances for. We found out death, disease, debt, disaster, depression, divorce, and delay. And we call delay the eventless event. It's the eventless event. It's the waiting for the event that doesn't happen. And so we get totally in a place of despair and despondency. But I believe that for every death experience, the life of God comes into our life. For every disease, there is healing on this side or that side of glory. I believe that there is, for every debt, there is provision. For every disaster, there is protection. For every depression, there's a love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. For every divorce, separation, breakup, for every one of those things, the spirit of reconciliation wants to come and restore and to heal your life. And for every delay, there is a place in the spirit where he wants to bring acceleration. So this morning, I want to talk to you not about destiny shapers or shakers. That was just to catch some of you up to where we've been. But I want to talk to you about destiny sifters. Somebody say destiny sifters. Okay, so we'll look at, there are three places where the word sift is used in the King James, in the Bible. Three places where the word sift is used. Isaiah 30, verse 28. Amos 9, verse 9, and Luke 22, verse 31. That's Isaiah 30, verse 28. That's Amos 9, verse 9, and Luke 22, verse 31. And every one of those, every time that word is used, the word sift in the English is a different word, two times different word in Hebrew, one time different in Greek. And so we'll look at that for just a moment real quick. But I want to give you this morning some of the sifters. And the scripture said in Luke 22:31, it says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat." Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you like wheat. I'll look at this in two other versions. Luke 22:31 in the Message Bible says, "Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me like chaff from wheat. Simon, I have prayed for you, in particular, that you not give in or give out." Somebody said, don't give in. Say, don't give out. "When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start." How many know we all go through times of testing? All to go through some times of testing. And so we talked about shapers, and those are things that we're allowing to come through the five gates of our life into our soul, through our eye gate, the ear gate, through the way we speak. We've allowed those shapers to come in and shape us. But then we talked about shakers, and those are events that are outside of our control that are happening out here. But when I speak about sifters, these are things the enemy brings to us and toward us to kind of get us to be shaken on the inside. In the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. It says, "Simon, Simon Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you," because the word "you" there is a plural word. So most of us get all tripped up and say, "Well, thank God it was Simon and not me." When he said "you," it is a plural word, and he said, "all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain." Now, he's talking to the apostles, but they are the first fruit, and he's the first fruit of many to come, and we're those to come. Amen? And so, I'm here to tell you today that every believer will go through sifting. You'll go through sifting experiences. So in order to understand this word sifting, we have to understand it and the different definitions from the different languages. In the Hebrew, the word sift means to move to and fro, wave, to besprinkle, to wave, to swing, to shake. It means to shed abroad. It also means, that's found in Isaiah 30, verse 28. He says, "And his breath is an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err." Watch this. He said God is going to sift the nations. This is a prophetic word. God is not only sifting us as a people and his church as a people and those in the kingdom, he is also shaking the earth. He is shaking the nations and the government systems. He's shaking every kind of system of man. Are we seeing it today? So don't be shaken on the inside when you see God shaking things on the outside. And what's interesting, we read last week from Hebrews, he said he would shake everything that could be shaken, but he would strengthen those things that remain. Say, "I'm going to be here." Say, "Bank on it. I'm going to be here." Yeah, when the dust settles, you're still going to be here. And I'm not talking about rapture right now. I'm just talking about when the testing is over, you're going to be strong. As a matter of fact, Jesus went through a time of sifting when he went into the wilderness. And when he went into the wilderness, he went through this whole sifting experience. He was there 40 days and the enemy tempted him in every way. And the first sifter I want to talk about is temptation. Number one sifter is temptation. The enemy comes to tempt you. Now, because you've been tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. Because thoughts come to you. I'm telling you, we live in a world where there is stuff coming at us from everywhere now. It can pop up on your computer. I'm not just talking about anything. It can everything from pornography to you name it. Stuff that our kids would never have been exposed to at earlier years, now they're exposed to at very young years because there's an enemy out there. And just because when you go to type in your computer the address of something, these pornographic sites know that if you miss, they know the keys, that if you miss one key, and misspell something, they'll cause the first page to pop up with all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff. And so what happens is we live in a world where it's crazy. I mean, you cannot even want to see stuff and you will see it. You cannot want to hear stuff and you will hear it. I was at my son's football camp, and as I was at his football camp, they were playing this music as they were out on the fields, and I thought, what are they playing? Now, I like the sound of the music. I like the style, but the words, as I listened to the words, they were unbelievable words of rebellion and sex and drugs. It was talking about drugs, and here at this camp, they're talking about, you know, you need to keep yourself and keep yourself strong. And they're playing this music where guys, you know, talking about drugs with words that aren't coming right out, but that's what he's talking about. And I'm sitting there thinking, these kids are programming themselves to play and to play well and to stay professional, and at the same time they're playing this music because it has a beat that's fun and sounds good, and you know, but it's playing out on the speakers all across the deal. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is crazy how the enemy has figured out ways to subliminally and just undercurrent while they're doing something good. And this happens to every single one of us. I mean, you can walk out of the television room into another room, come back in, and all of a sudden you can see something. You can leave your TV on at night, and all of a sudden some crazy program on regular TV come up in the middle of the night when you fell asleep. And I'm not even talking about premium channels. There can be something come up on regular TV that's just crazy, something that's demonic, something that's promoting everything from witchcraft to you name it. So we live in that world. So just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. It is the sifting. And when Jesus went through this time of temptation, the Bible said he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. The Holy Spirit didn't tempt him, but he led him into a place where he would be sifted. Now, there are at least three people that we know of in the scripture that the enemy asked for. We know that this is a plural word, and he's asking for every single one of us. But we talked about Job. We talked about every one of those major events, those shakers, happened in the life of Job in a very short time span. He lost everything. His family died. He had disease, disaster hit, all of those things. And as a matter of fact, the scripture said that the enemy went to God, Satan went to God, and he asked for Job. And what's really interesting is he said this, the way that it's worded in the Hebrew is that he said, I've put my desire on him. If you read what he said about Simon Peter, he said, the enemy has desired to have you. He puts his desire on you. Now, what's really interesting is we think of this picture like, you know, well, okay, God didn't have a clue what Satan was there for, and Satan just came in, and God said, where have you been? And like a teenager, Satan answers God. This is how teenagers answer you sometimes. Where you been? Here and there. Where you been? You know, such and such. Where you been? Well, over there. And then I came back over here. And where have you been, Satan? Well, I've been to and fro throughout the earth. I've been to and fro. What are you here for? Well, he already knew what he was there for. In fact, the way that he asked the question was to suggest, I know why you're here. And you don't understand, I already know. And let me just tell you something, God doesn't gamble. Do you hear what I said? God doesn't gamble. He gambles, but he doesn't gamble. So God doesn't gamble. What are you saying, God doesn't gamble? Well, God wasn't gambling when he said, you know, give Job a try. He already knew the heart of Job. He already knew success was coming. He already knew that Job was going to prevail and that in the end a double portion was going to be released. And not only that, but all the earth would say, not only has God blessed Job, but God blessed him again, and God is a blesser. He was going to come out on top. Job was going to come out on top. Everything else was going to come out on top, and the enemy was going to be proved for who he already was. So I'm declaring to you today, your end is better than your beginning, because God doesn't gamble. I said, God doesn't gamble. If he allows the enemy to sift you, he is preparing you for something greater than you could ever imagine. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just in this time-space realm. God has some great things for you in the eternal realm as well. And so we found out that he says to Sift means to wave. I don't have time to go through all that this morning, but when they would take the wave offering, one of the offerings that they brought to the Lord, they would take the offering and wave it to the Lord. It was called the wave offering. This word wave is the same word as sift. Isn't that interesting? So he said, I'll sift the nations, but he also says, I will sift or I will wave. And when we start waving before the Lord our offering, what we're saying is this word also means to separate or set apart. What I'm saying is, God, I want to be an offering to you. I want to be set apart. I want to be separate. I want to be different. I want to be unique. I want to be that one that you want to bless. And Father God, whatever it takes to sift me, I will become an offering. I won't just give one. I will become a wave offering to you. Anybody catching what I'm saying this morning? Somebody wants to become a wave offering to the Lord. Somebody wants to say right here, Father God, whatever it takes to bless this earth, let it start with me. Now that's a tough thing to say, because sifting is devastating at times. Temptation makes you wonder, what's wrong with me? Why would he tempt me with those thoughts? Well, let me just tell you something. He's been studying your family for generations. He knows your genetic proclivity. He knows what you're drawn towards. He's been watching your responses to all the things that he's thrust at you. He's been watching that for as long as you've been on the earth and your family have been on the earth. And so he knows what direction you're moving towards. And everybody in this room, you know, some of us can get real, real funny about which sins are better than another. Well, praise God, I've never done that. I grew up in a classical Pentecostal background where we'd sit around and talk about all the stuff we didn't do. We don't drink, smoke, or chew, or hang out with those who do. I mean, we'd sit around and talk about all the stuff we didn't do, but we didn't talk about what we did do. What do we do? God didn't save us to not do stuff. God saved us to do something. He saved us to bring us out of that, to bring us into something else. Now, I'm not saying that he wants us to do those things. No, but what happens is when you really, really come into the place where you stop saying no and start saying yes, you don't have time to say no because you're saying yes. You catch what I'm saying? We're saying yes to God, and I'm so busy saying yes to God, I don't have to say no to the enemy. I'm just saying yes to God. Like the enemy comes, oh, shut up. God, what do you have for me today? Hear what I'm saying? The next word sift is also found in the Old Testament. It's from Amos 9:9. It says, for lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. This word sift means to shake in a sieve. It means by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Catch this. It means by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Can't take you to overthrow. He can just take you to the verge. Anybody ever been to the verge of overthrow? I'm telling you, anybody been to the verge? Anybody been to the edge of overthrow? Whew. Some of you are there right now. You're looking at me like this. And you're really going, oh God, he's talking about me. I'm on the edge of overthrow. Yeah, but you're not going over the edge. Feels like you are. In fact, it feels like you've already gone over. It feels like you're hanging, dangling, like you're there. But hear me today. If God can cause the whole world to spin on nothing, you can go over the edge and all of a sudden him be holding you in the palm of his hand. You may not be able to see what you're standing on, but what you're standing on is a word from God. And that's all you need to stand. All you need is a word from God. Somebody say, all I need is a word from God. Yeah, you may be on the verge of overthrow, but you're about to overflow. I said you may be on the verge of overthrow, but you're about to overflow. Because the Bible said when Jesus came out of the place of temptation, he came out with power. He came out with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you come out of what you're coming out of, you're coming out with power. Say I'm coming out with power. Yeah, you're coming out with power. And so the siftings, I don't really have time to get into all the siftings. I'll give them to you this morning. The first sifter is temptation. The second sifter is betrayal. Somebody say betrayal. Whew. How many ever been betrayed? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, betrayal. And I have some observations about betrayal. Because the enemy comes to sift you right at your greatest moment. He will use betrayal as that thing to try to stop you from entering in. We took the communion and we always say it as the scripture says, on the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread. Why on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread? Because that's the night that he was entering into his destiny. It was the zenith. It was the pinnacle. It was the peak. It was the entree. It was the entrance into his destiny. He was there for that purpose, that moment. It was his kairos season, his strategic moment of opportunity. He was doing his assignment, and everything in hell was trying to stop him. Simon Peter even said, "No, Lord." And Jesus said, "Satan, get thee behind me." Because the enemy was trying to keep him from stepping into his destiny. And if he came against Jesus, he'll come against you. He came against Job, he came against Jesus, he came against Peter, trying to sift them from their destiny. Betrayal is a major sifter. Every one of us have experienced betrayal at some point. My first observation about betrayal is that Satan will use somebody who knows your patterns. Judas knew where to find Jesus. Somebody who knows your patterns, the enemy will often use. He'll use them in the tender moments. He'll use them in your deepest time of despair and pain. Second observation, betrayers never work alone. They got to get people on their side. Judas emerged right before his greatest victory and kissed him like Absalom kissing David. Came with a band of men to take him. I found this out about betrayers. Betrayers, third observation, they often want to betray you in the area of finances. Judas is the guy who takes care of Jesus' finances. Betrayers will often betray in the arena of finances. The fourth observation is that betrayers, watch this. This happens when Jesus is with Judas and all the disciples are there. And he said, "The one who I give the sop to." You know what the sop was? The sop is the juiciest bite that's saved to the end. Sounds a little gross to me, but for them, that was a big deal. Who gets the last piece? Because it soaks up the most. And what that represents is often the people you've done the most for. The people that, in fact, it's not what have you done for me, it's what have you done for me lately that matters to some of them. You could have saved them from, you could have helped them, you could have done whatever. I mean, you could have done whatever, and then all of a sudden in your greatest time, they are just like nowhere to be found. They're done. They're out there somewhere else. The juiciest stop, the best of the best. You've done the most for them, and now they're the ones who are leaving you. That's tough. That's tough. Observation number five. Don't be surprised when you see trusted friends standing with enemies. Because he didn't just come with a band of people, he came with enemies. See, Judas knew who his enemies were. And he came with enemies. And so often, people who are the ones who loved you the most are the ones who walk away. And then finally, observation six. When betrayal happens on this level, even miracles won't stop the betrayers. Judas was there when Jesus, when they came up and they said, "Who are you? Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And the same power that flowed when God said, "I am," and said it to Moses, "Tell them I am that I am." When Abraham said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am." Jesus, they said, "Who are you, Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, "I am." When he did, all of them fell to the ground. That should have been a cue. When Peter cut off the ear of somebody and Jesus put it back on, didn't change Judas at that moment. Miracles can take place, but betrayers, because they're in that vein, can't see it. And the enemy will use betrayers to sift you. And you will come to a place where you think, "Well, God doesn't care. All these people are betraying me. all these situations, even people I trusted and loved, let me tell you something. They will come and you will be tested with betrayal at some point in your life. If Jesus was, so will you. But understand this, not every betrayer means to be a betrayer and will be a betrayer forever. If you'll begin to cry out to God, I mean, even Peter betrayed Jesus. But Jesus recognized, Peter, you want to get it right. You messed up, but you're not a complete mess up. You made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. Be careful that you don't put people in the betrayal category and never let them come out of it. Be very careful. Destiny sifters, temptation, betrayal. I don't have time. I'm just going to give them to you. Disappointment, success, failure. Temptation, betrayal, disappointment. Did you know success can actually be a sifter in your life? You get to a place of success and you think, man, nobody can touch me now. Look at Job. Nobody can touch me now. Nobody's even in the same category as me. Success sometimes will get to your mind. I mean, it will get to you. Failure can be a sifter. Pressure, stress can be a sifter, pressure from every angle. And then, and theft. Every one of us is, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, let me tell you what he does. These are his strategies. His strategy are spiritual aids. The acrostic is accusation, intimidation, deception, and seduction. Accusation, intimidation, deception, and seduction. And all of those are designed to bring confusion. And where there is strife and confusion, there is every evil work. So what happens is the enemy uses these sifters to bring us to a place where we're confused. So somebody let us down. Somebody let us down. It could be somebody close to you, it could be grandparents, it could be father, mother, somebody let us down, somebody left us, somebody betrayed us, somebody hurt us. And so what happens is through that sifting, we start acting stupid and doing crazy things. A husband, a wife left us, they betrayed us, somebody walked away, and we're hurt. We've become sifted, and so now we are so broken inside, we start turning it against God. Wrong. Now, let me tell you something. God's big enough to handle the moments where you messed up and said, God, I'm mad at you. It's okay to be mad. God gave us emotions. Don't stay stuck there. Don't stay stuck there. Because your destiny is worth more than staying stuck there. Somebody in this room needs to know your destiny is worth more than you being mad at somebody else and taking it out on yourself. Your destiny is worth more. Somebody say, my destiny is worth more. Come on, say it again. My destiny is worth more. Say, I'm worth more. And let me tell you why you're worth more. Because Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the price for you on the cross. Would you stand up on your feet as we close today? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that through the siftings, we are going to become those who wave our hands in a wave offering and say, Father, make me a target for blessing. I'm giving you the offering of me, knowing that if I give you me, you'll give me you. If I give you me, you'll give me you. And if you give me you, Father God, there ain't nothing I'm going to lack. Everything I need to accomplish, every destiny you have for me, I'm going to trust you with. And Father, many of the roads that you take us on, Father God, are not about what we think they're about. You're not just trying to get stuff to us and give us stuff. Father, you're trying to get stuff in us and get stuff out of us. I said, you're not just trying to give us stuff and take stuff away. You're trying to get stuff in us and get stuff out of us. Yeah. And so, Father, across this room, we're going to stop fighting the sifting. And we're going to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to speak a word to the enemy every time he comes. We're going to operate in the word. Begin to speak the word to every demonic force that comes to sift us. And Father, we're reminded that when sifting comes and when sifting is over, when the chaff is blown away and the seed of the grain is left, the seed drops and falls to the ground. After it drops, it dies. After it dies, it starts to grow. Once it grows, there is not only a sifting, but there is a lifting. And that lifting is coming. That lifting produces fruit. that lifting is bringing you out of despair, out of darkness, out of obscurity, out of damp places, wet places, into dry places, into the place where God causes you to bring forth fruit. Somebody's moving towards the light today. Somebody's coming out of darkness into deliverance today in Jesus' name. If that's you across this room, just say, that's me, 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 that's me. Pray with me right now. Say, Father.
Father.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
For all the sin.
For all the sin.
All the stuff I've been doing.